So we live in a world that in a lot of ways is focused on our differences. We're told often, almost daily, that we're different from those around us. We're unique. We are our own person. That it's your differences that make you who you are. We live in a world that in a lot of ways is focused on our differences. Some companies have even picked this up as their primary tagline. An example. Oh. Can I have you hit play on the PowerPoint? Sorry about that, some technical difficulty. There's the little P on the left side. It's kind of reddish-orange. Can we get it? Oh, there we go. Okay, we got to go back to the beginning. Now you know, all know where we're going. Okay, so an example, if you can read it, otherwise I'll read it for you. We live in a world that in a lot of ways is focused on our differences. Have it your way. You have the right to have what you want exactly when you want it. Because on the menu of life, you are today's special, and tomorrow's, and the day after that. And well, you get the drift. Yes, that's right. We may be the king, but you, my friend, are the almighty ruler. We live in a world that focuses on our differences, that you have the right to have what you want, when you want, how you want it. We live in a world that in a lot of ways is focused on our differences. And in a lot of ways, these differences make us choose sides. We're either something or we're something else. A fun example that many of us know now is coming. You're either a Michigan Wolverine or you root for those other guys, right? But we live in a world that in a lot of ways is focused on our differences, and we're told that the differences are what make our identity. They're what determine who we are. And now, our difference is a bad thing? No, absolutely not. I think that God has created each one of us to be unique people because God has a unique mission for us. And that God has created us the way he has created us because God has a plan that he needs you or I to live out. The problem, I think, the question I have, is are our differences the most important thing about us, about who we are, about our identity? Is it our differences that determine who we are as ourselves? Or is there something deeper? Is there something that might be much more important? And I'm thankful also that we aren't the only culture, we aren't the only time that has dealt with these sort of questions. That these are questions, these are problems that have plagued the church from the very beginning. So this morning, we're going to look at an issue in 1 Corinthians. I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're two chapters back from listed in the bulletin. We'll get to 1 Corinthians 3. We'll start at 1 Corinthians 1. It is on page 1,105 in your pew Bibles. And as we're flipping, a little bit of context about what we're going to be reading. The book of 1 Corinthians is a letter written by Paul to this church in Corinth. So Paul is one of the greatest theologians, one of the greatest missionaries the church has ever seen. He's writing a letter to this church in Corinth. Now a little bit about Corinth. Corinth during this day would have been the center of culture. It would have been the center of influence. The motto for Corinth would have been, what happens in Corinth stays in Corinth, right? Like, the whole Las Vegas thing is totally unoriginal. Corinth would have been the center of culture. The whole pantheon of Greek and Roman gods would be worshipped in Corinth. And in Corinth, Paul comes into the city. Paul comes into Corinth, and he plants, he forms, he establishes a church. Paul stays at this church for probably somewhere around 18 months. And then Paul goes off to start a new church, because that's what Paul did. So Paul goes off. He's left this church that he started. And now he's hearing word that there's some things going on in Corinth that need to be addressed. We pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 of the occasion for the letter, starting at verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. So Paul is hearing something that's going on in this church in Corinth, and it needs to be addressed. We continue. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. And now we know Cephas better as the Apostle Peter. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? And now keep your Bibles open. But we have some names here that need to be addressed. We start with Paul. Paul, who we already identified, was one of the greatest theologians, one of the greatest missionaries the church had ever seen. Paul was absolutely brilliant. A half to two-thirds of our New Testament is written by the hand of Paul. Paul is absolutely brilliant. His letters are profound. They're insightful. Some people have speculated that Paul may not have been the greatest public speaker. Paul himself, in his second letter to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, he himself says, I did not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters, for some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing. Which, as a recent seminary grad, you don't want to see that on your sermon evaluation form, right? So we don't know what if this represents Paul. Well, what we know is that some people in this church in Corinth thought that when Paul came and talked, he was unimpressive and his speaking amounted to nothing. Okay, so we have Paul, and then Paul is at this church for 18 months. Paul goes to plant a new church, and shortly after, we meet this guy named Apollos. And Apollos, this guy can speak. You want to watch somebody preach, you need to see Apollos. We're first introduced to him in the book of Acts. So I actually ask that you flip, keep your finger in Corinthians, we're going to come back. Flip a few books to the left, towards the front, Acts chapter 18, where we actually first meet Apollos. Acts 18, we'll start reading at verse 24. Acts 18, starting at verse 24. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. So Paul, Apollos we see here, was a great speaker. He spoke with fervor. He vigorously refuted and proved that Jesus is the Messiah, that Apollos speaks and people listen, people are changed, people make decisions. Apollos is an incredible speaker. So what we have here in this church in Corinth is we have some people saying, Paul came. Paul started this church. He formed this church. Paul is the reason many of us came to know Jesus. Paul is our guy. He's our man. We follow Paul. And then you have others in the church saying, you know, Paul was great and we appreciate what he did. But have you seen this Apollos? Apollos, this is our guy. Apollos is our man. And then you have another group saying, no, Apollos and Paul, they're great, but we follow Peter. And now we don't know how Peter ever met the church in Corinth. We don't know if Peter ever visited. We don't know if he wrote them a letter, if they got their hands on one of Peter's letters, or if they heard about him through the stories of Jesus. But you have some in this church that are saying, we follow Peter. I mean, Peter didn't read about Jesus. He didn't hear about Jesus through somebody else. Peter actually walked with him. Peter was the guy out on the water with him. We follow Peter. So you have this church in Corinth, some claiming we follow Paul, some we follow Apollos, others we follow Peter. And it's dividing the church. So this church in Corinth, we find they're being split based on who they follow. That the church has started following individuals. They've started following human personalities. Did you notice how Paul responds? Paul responds, I'll put the words on the screen as well. Is Christ divided? Which means if the church is the body of Christ, if Christ is not divided, the church shouldn't be also. Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? So Paul asks three rhetorical questions, big, gigantic questions, all designed to have the answer be an emphatic no. No. And what's interesting is Paul will continue through this book of 1 Corinthians, through this letter, he'll continue to address these issues. Paul will talk about how we have been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. Paul will identify that one of the major themes of Paul's teaching is Jesus' death and resurrection and what that means for us, for the church, for the world. And then Paul goes into this first question. Is Christ divided? He goes into this, and as we see Paul continue, when he comes back to this idea, we see that he starts to get a little bit more heated. I turn two chapters, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Paul's coming back to this idea of if is Christ divided, and he starts to get more heated. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. And by saying that he gave them milk instead of solid food, he's saying he gave them more elementary teaching instead of something deeper. He continues, indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? So the problem in this church in Corinth was that people in this church left becoming being followers of Jesus and instead became followers of Jesus. That instead of following Jesus together as a united church, they divided, saying, no, we follow Paul. We follow Apollos. We follow Cephas. We follow Peter. And it's dividing the church. That the church has become followers of Jesus. Now I think this is something that we might still struggle with a bit today. That we live in a world that we have been blessed, we've been gifted phenomenal teachers, phenomenal preachers. If we look kind of big mainstream Christianity, if I were to say Willow Creek, many of us think, oh, that's Bill Hybels' church, right? If I say Saddleback Church, something that not as many of us are familiar with, some of us will ask, oh, isn't that Rick Warren's church? That we still have this tendency to follow people. And we've been gifted with incredibly talented people, Hybels, Tim Keller, Beth Moore, some incredible people who through them, God has advanced his kingdom through them. It's good to learn, to study, to grow from these people as we learn to follow Jesus together. But I think we need to be aware of the temptation, the danger that I think we still have, that we end up becoming followers of personalities, of individuals, of people. We live in many ways in this celebrity culture, in which in our celebrity culture, we take individuals and we put them up on pedestals. And then once these people are on pedestals, often there's a danger that we just follow blindly. Think the thing we need to focus on is we need to be aware who we're actually following. That we aren't following other people, but we are following Jesus. Paul continues, verse 5. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor, for we are God's fellow workers. So Paul addresses this theology of celebrity, where they're elevating people, following these individuals. Paul speaks into this theology of celebrity and argues for a theology of community, where instead of certain individuals being elevated and being followed, Paul brings up this theology of community in which the church exists as a bunch of unique people with unique gifts and talents who now come together and together with one mission and one vision go out into the world. That the church is not a few individuals, but the church is a group of unique people coming together to work together in their unique ways with their unique talents to further the kingdom of God and the mission that Jesus gave us. This, I think, is one of the most beautiful things, one of the incredibly beautiful things about this movement that Jesus started. That it's a group of people coming together, empowered by God himself to do the work he's left for us to do. This is one of the beautiful things, I think, in nights like tonight, when we come together as West End and West View and West Leonard and whatever other churches might be represented here. I think it gives us a bigger, a more beautiful vision picture of what God is doing in our world. That it's unique people coming together from different congregations, from different buildings, together worshiping the same God, together going out into the world, trying, using our gifts and our abilities to further God's kingdom wherever he's placed us. So this week, as we go out from here, may we carry that with us. That when we walk out of here tonight, we actually leave together, understanding that we represent a bigger picture of the church, of people called by God to do his work in the world. May we not forget that when we walk out of these doors. Please pray with me. Almighty God, we thank you for the way that you have gifted and equipped each person here. Lord, we pray that we might come to realize that you have gifted us, you've equipped each of us differently for a purpose. That the most important thing is not these differences, but it's the thing that pulls us together. That we belong to you, and that we have a shared mission to further your kingdom here and everywhere. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.